What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
301 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Luigi. It is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So I took a pretty big step over the weekend, and I wasn't able to pull the trigger on it, but I did at least dip my toe into the water of doing something that I said that I would never do in my life, and that is go to the movie theaters alone. This is something that I've been very anti throughout my life. It is something that I openly have mocked people for doing, including Evan, who would go to, you know, a matinee on a Saturday afternoon, and I would always make fun of him for it. And he'd be like, no, Lugie, it's great. And he'd give me all the reasons why it's great. And I'd say, okay, perhaps, but it's just not kind of the boat that I want to get in with you. I've only been to the movie theater twice in the last 7 years. Part of that is my wife hates, well, pretty much everything. I'm not even sure if she likes me, but she certainly doesn't like going to the movie theater. And I'm not even sure if Felicia just said she likes the cat in my ear. I'm not even sure she likes the cat at this point. It's one of those things where she, you know, we have positive Tommy in moderation right now. I think she likes the cat in moderation. And I remind her every day that it was, in fact, her idea to get the cat. Twice in 7 years. Twice. And part of it is my wife doesn't like going to the movies. And the other part, like, she'll do, so I'll say this because it's relevant because he's coming up in 2 hours. He's going to be co-hosting with Al and doing the, well, really, this is the summer of CeeLo. So he's in almost every day with the morning show because if someone's out, basically CeeLo's in. My wife hates Christmas Vacation. Hates it. And she's aware that CeeLo loves it. And obviously, I love it too. So every time Christmas rolls around and I go, I'd love to watch Christmas Vacation with you, she goes, well, I hate it. Why don't you go to CeeLo's house and watch it? Go to CeeLo? What am I? This guy is an adult with 2 kids. I'm not going to show up with a sleeping bag and a bag of popcorn at CeeLo's house and saying, when are we going to fire up a movie? He's got a lot on his plate. Dealing what he's dealing with in that house. Trust me. The last thing he needs is his 40-year-old friend to stroll up to the house to watch a movie. How about you, the person you decided to spend the rest of your life with, sit your behind down on a couch and watch this damn movie with me? So, lo and behold, every year I watch Christmas Vacation, you guessed it, by myself. Which is fine. She hates Elf too. And this is just Christmas movies, for example. I bring those up because those are yearly movies that I like to watch. But yeah, We just can't come to an agreement on anything when it comes to movies. She just, every genre bothers her. This gives her, it makes her uncomfortable, whatever. I've lost track of even the discussions we've had about it. But we've gotten to the point now where I'm just not even going to ask her to go to the movies. That's one. Two, there haven't been a lot of movies that have really tickled my fancy, that have made me want to go to the movies. But with all the hype that's surrounding Odyssey, and I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan, the cast is amazing. And then also Spider-Man has gotten ridiculous reviews. So there are two movies out right now that potentially could get me to go to the movie theater. And from everything I've been told, Odyssey and IMAX. Actually, we took a call last week, and this was a hot take, strong opinion. A fellow called me last week and said he went to go see Odyssey at an IMAX theater, and he said, if you go see it in an IMAX theater, he said, it's the greatest movie experience you will ever have in your life. Okay? And that's a strong one, and that made me want to go see it even more. There's two ways to get me to a movie. Hey, it really sucks. Hey, it's really awesome. Because I want to see if it does actually really suck, or if it actually is really awesome. And I'm a big fan of Troy, the movie. Now, I think this, I don't know if that's necessarily a correlation or you have to be a fan of one for Odyssey to be great. I'm a huge fan of Marvel, so Spider-Man makes a lot of sense. But Odyssey would probably get me to the theater more. But anyway, I looked up an IMAX theater near me, and believe it or not, there was a lot of tickets already sold for this movie. Like, but all the middle seats were taken. So I'm like, all right, if I'm finally going to go to the movies for the third time in 7 years, I want to have a good seat. I'm sure Odyssey's going to be out for a long time, so perhaps I will wait a few more weeks before I go. I'll choose a rainy day and I will go. But that's a huge step. That is a huge step for me, to go to the movies all by myself. And really, I'm at the point in my life now, because I did bring this up to my wife. She's like, oh, why don't you ask Rosenberg? Again, why am I asking? Why do I have to ask a friend? Why can't you go with me? She basically wants to pawn me off to everybody all the time. I'd love to go to Disney World. Well, why don't you go with the... She's even said this, speaking of the little Presties. Why don't you go down there with the little Presties? Why don't I go play in traffic when I'm done with that? I love Chris. He knows that. But I'd rather be anywhere on this earth than with his two children and wife. They could be a little bit of a pain in the neck. Nothing against them, but they just are. I'm teasing. But I just, that's not something I really want to do. But I'd love to go to the movies with her. She just doesn't really want to go with me. You know, it's funny. I thought of a business idea a couple of months ago. Never really got off the ground because I didn't really see how it would be lucrative. But I thought about being the first ever sports talk radio gigolo. Or, well, I don't really know the PC term, so maybe it was escort. I don't know. Gigolo, escort, whatever the PC term is, put me down for that. But I would basically be the first ever of its kind, and you, the customer, would pay for us to go to a sporting event. We would hang out. We would enjoy a Met game, a Knick game, whatever the case may be, a Giant game, Jet game. Heck, I'd even go to a Net game if you want. Actually, I don't know about that, but... You know, hockey, whatever. I'll mix a wedding in every now and then. And the idea is, I don't love going to sporting events, mostly for the commute, but this is an opportunity for me to go more, and you get a chance as a fan to hang out with me. A generational talent. That is a generational opportunity. So I would be the first ever sports talk radio gigolo / escort / whatever. And then I realized I wouldn't make any money off it. I was like, whatever. But how about this? How about a business where you would be just a person that would go to movies with somebody who doesn't have somebody to go to the movies with? I guess that technically would kind of probably be an escort, but just be like a movie. I guess that kind of plays that role too. So I guess technically we have that already, but you would be like more of like a niche escort. Where you would just be no hanky-panky, none of that stuff. It wouldn't be that type of movie experience. But it would just be to hang out as a friend, to go to the movies with somebody. So you don't feel like you're there all by yourself. I will say this.
Anything to not go to the movies with Rosenberg.
Correct. That's really where we're going with this. I when my wife said that to me, I was like, I am not asking this guy to go to the movie theater. No, seriously. If you think he is annoying on the air, he is. If you think his overall just sort of disposition in life is annoying, it is. I have gone to the movies with Rosenberg before. I have socialized with him off air, and I got to tell you, it's awful. So I really don't want to do that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm starting to think that if I do dive into this world of going to the movies by myself, especially if you do it at the right time, like you can't go Friday night, Saturday night all by yourself. You can't do that. Although you could possibly blend in. But if you go earlier, like a Tuesday at noon or a Wednesday at even like 6 o'clock at night, I feel like there will be other solo moviegoers there. And you'll kind of be part of a community. So it won't be looked at as, what the heck is this weirdo doing here? So I if I do do it, it will be do more during the day. But even still, what turned me off a lot about going to the movie theaters, it wasn't a COVID thing. It's not a whatever. It's more of, you go to a movie. I got to sit through 2 hours of trailers. I've seen half of these already because the internet exists. And then after 4.5 hours of trailers... And this isn't, I have nowhere to be, but it's just more about, I don't want to sit there for 4.5 hours and watch trailers when I could just watch them on my phone. And then after 4.5 hours of trailers, I have Nicole Kidman telling me to silence my cell phone and where I can buy refreshments and where all the bathrooms are located. Thanks, Nicole. I know where the bathrooms are located. I know where to buy the M&Ms and I know to silence my cell phone. I don't need your help in that category. So there's a lot of that going on. But we'll see. I was very close. I was checking out movie times, IMAX. I'm inching closer and closer to going to the movie theater by myself. Yeah. You know what I will do, though? I will wear my wedding ring. Not that I wouldn't wear my wedding ring, but I mean, I'll wear like 6 wedding rings there. I just want to make clear to everybody here that I'm in fact married. I am at the movie theater by myself. My wife doesn't like going to the movies, but I am just here all by myself. But yeah, no, that escort business. I mean, well, I guess, like I said, it's kind of just like a regular escort would go to the movies with you, but like a niche escort. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll be the actually, that's really what I should do. I should be the first ever sports talk radio movie theater gigolo. Because now I get to go to the movies. I get to go with somebody. You get to go with somebody. We sit there for 3 hours. Nicole Kidman tells us to silence our cell phones. We watch a movie, and away we go. Liv joins us from Los Angeles. What's going on, Liv?
Hey, Tommy. Loving the show. Thanks. I heard you talking about the Odyssey and everything, and I just watched it last Wednesday. and I was like, want to give my recommendation to you.
Okay, now, did you see it in IMAX theater?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I saw it in 70 millimeter at the AMC at Universal, like Universal Studios.
What does, clue me in on this, 70 millimeter, is that a different type of IMAX? Is that a standard IMAX? Is that something I can seek out, or what do you mean by 70 millimeter?
Yes, so there's only 45 in the world, and I think 25 in the U.S.
Wow.
And it's like the special, it's a special like film camera that's like, it's like wider, I believe, wider and bigger screen. So this is the first ever like blockbuster film to be filmed completely in 70 millimeter.
Wow.
So if you watch, if you watch The Odyssey in any other way, like if you watch it when it comes out or you watch it in standard IMAX, you're not getting the full Christopher Nolan message.
Right.
So if you're going to watch The Odyssey, you want to watch in 70 millimeter.
Right. So if I go to, you know, see, watch it on my couch, or if I watch it in standard definition or just a standard IMAX, you're not seeing it the way it was truly meant to be consumed.
Exactly.
Okay. And you, I obviously no spoilers, but you, what was your experience like?
It was like your other caller that told you that it was, it's probably the most breathtaking movie I've seen in person. Like it, like the film camera, the 70 millimeter, like the way that IMAX was shot with like where they shot it in like, I think like Mediterranean somewhere, like it felt like you were there. Like it was just beautiful cinematic masterpiece. Like you don't even need to know the plot. You're watching it and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. I've heard that now. Yeah. Like I said,
6:05 AM showing.
You went to a 6:05 AM showing.
Yes, sir. I woke up at, cause it's been sold out here in LA. Cause it's like, there's not many 70 millimeter out here. So right. I woke up at 5 a.m, got caught in traffic on the 101 and was late for the first 5 minutes of the movie and was a sold out crowd at 6:05 AM on a Wednesday.
Wow.
You know, LA people don't work, so.
Yeah, no, they don't know what's going on out there. My wife is from out there. No offense to you, and I appreciate the call, Liv. The people in Los Angeles are just, you know, they're out the sea and they're never making it home. But yeah, it's 6 a.m. I used to do the Midnight Madness movies, you know, when the movie, like the, so the, when a movie first comes out, you know, that first showing is at midnight, and it's, I mean, you know, look, I was there too, so who am I to throw stones, but it's a lot of those guys brought their cousins to prom, but that's, again, I was there too, so who am I to cast any sort of jokes on, but it was that type of crowd where people would cheer for things during the movie and stuff of that nature. But I also think it adds to the experience if the movie's really good. But 6 a.m., that is... But I hear you. I was checking the theater near me and the IMAX, and it was like a third sold out, and I was checking on, what, Friday or Saturday for tomorrow? I was already a couple days in advance, and it was probably a third sold out for a 2 o'clock in the afternoon showing of this freaking movie.
He said the 70 millimeters, everyone, there's one theater here in the city that does that. They've been sold out every showing, you know, 2 p.m., 2 a.m., 6 a.m. on weekends since the day the tickets went on sale like 2 months ago.
That's crazy.
There's a secondary market for them.
Secondary market. Like Nick playoff games. Yeah, this movie has gotten a ton of hype. And I know there's people that are like detractors of it for whatever. I don't care about that stuff. I just want to see the movie. If a movie's good, I'll go see the movie. And that's the thing. To me, Oppenheimer had buzz, and I did end up seeing it. Maverick had buzz. I ended up seeing it. Neither at the movie theater. Avatar, the second one, a lot of buzz. I ended up seeing it, not at a movie theater. But the Odyssey one, that to me, like people keep saying, movie theater, IMAX, and apparently there's one in the city. Now, am I going to sit here for 6 months to see it, or am I going to, you know, go on StubHub and buy a ticket for Odyssey? No, probably not. I would probably just go to a regular IMAX theater locally where I live. But yeah, I may end up going to the movies all by myself. Jan is joining us from Manhattan. What's going on, Jan?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say I don't get this self-consciousness that you have about going to movies by yourself. People do it all the time. This is New York, after all.
Oh, I know people
work
go
at night, as
yeah,
you do.
They do.
And other people work weekends. You can't always find someone who wants to see what you want to see exactly on the day and the time that you want to see it. So you go and you see it yourself. It doesn't mean you're a pathetic, lonely person.
Well, you said pathetic, lonely person, Jan. I didn't. You kind of threw that out there. I was kind of dancing around the pathetic, lonely part. But I would say this, though, Jan. Is it possible that
well,
this
that,
is... Could this be more of a new age sort of thing? Because when I was growing up, Jan, movies cost a nickel.
No, I'm older than you.
Well,
I'm way older than you.
Come on.
And I have been going to the movies by myself for years if I wanted to. 1 p.m, 2 p.m, it's a perfect time to go. Maybe you're unemployed, you're on unemployment, or you're taking time out and your friends are all working. So you go yourself. Why would you deprive yourself of the pleasure of seeing a movie you want to see? Nobody's looking at you.
Everyone's staring at me.
They're looking at you.
Yeah. Hmm? I feel like everybody would be staring at me, but my theory on it, Jan, is I just wait till it comes out. You know, well, back in the day it would be a DVD. Now it would be on the streaming service. It doesn't take too long. Like, when is The Odyssey going to be on HBO Max? Probably in like a month.
Right. That's different. That's a different matter.
Yeah.
But if you want to see it now, buy a ticket and go. You know, just enjoy yourself. Nobody's looking at you. And half the people there are by themselves, too.
Well,
so
now I'm
more,
but now, Jan, I'm a public figure. People do recognize me. They could look over and say, boy, Lou Gower is at the movies by himself. I mean, if Al did that, if Evan did that, I'd understand it. But Lou Gower, we figured, wouldn't do that. You know, so, you know, it's one of those things, you know.
Well, that's true. I'm not a public figure, so I can be anonymous. But I didn't feel that it was anything strange. Lots of people are there by themselves.
Now, to be fair, at a matinee, my wife could be working during the day, which she is. So that's
absolutely
where they would say, okay, Tommy just is, and he works nights. So actually, it does kind of follow a script where I probably would get away with it because people know I work evenings. During the day, if my wife would be working, so, hey, he wants to catch a flick. He wants to go during the week when it's a little bit slower. That's why he's at this matinee movie.
Right. You're going to work at 7 till midnight, so you can't go to the late show. You go to the matinee.
Right.
That's what you do, and that shows independence of spirit. And you're someone who knows what he wants and does what he wants to do. And people respect and admire that.
You have to
look at it differently.
I agree, Jan. Yep, and I appreciate the call. I think I'm going to go to Odyssey by myself, IMAX, and I'll report back to everybody the experience. But it's going to be one of those things. I don't know where to put my hands. It's going to be a little bit of a thing, because I've never done this before. Never. I've gone to like a bar by myself, not a lot, but if I was like really jonesing. But you wonder what this will see, and you don't want to open up Pandora's box here too, because then what am I going to go on like a cruise by myself? And then you know, if we made a list of all the things my wife doesn't feel like doing that I feel like doing, I'll be doing everything by myself at that point. Can you go on vacation by yourself? I mean, you know, it's Pandora's box. But the movie, I think, is a good baby step when it comes to that. So I think Jan and you and others have inspired me. Plus the reviews. I mean, this feels like, The Odyssey feels like one of those movies, and we'll see if it lives up to the hype when I go see it, but it feels like one of those movies that comes along every 5 or so years that just takes the entire world by storm, and everybody's talking about it. Everybody goes to see it. You know, Titanic felt that way. Endgame felt that way. Odyssey kind of feels that way. And I'm not in a rush. I don't have to go this week or anything like that. But at some point here over the next couple weeks, I think I'm going to pull the trigger and go to see this by myself. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Trade deadline. The Yankees already improved themselves with the bat, Luis Garcia Jr., which I love the move from a perspective of he's on a heater. He's hitting a lot of home runs. Makes contact. Doesn't strike out a lot. And I think this is the first in several bats that are going to be added before the trade deadline is over at 6 p.m. later on Monday. Let's head out to Rob in Farmingdale. He joins us here on After Hours. What's up, Rob?
What's up, Luigi? How's it going?
What's going on?
I'll go to the movies with you if you want to go to the movies. I'm from Long Island. I'm about your age. I think the fans struck gold with you.
Thank you. Have you seen
it? Hilarious.
Well, I appreciate that. Have you seen Odyssey?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I heard the hype, though.
Yeah, the hype is just insane for this movie. And the Spider-Man movie, too, is getting a ton of hype. But let's be real. There's a Marvel bias, though. I feel like every Marvel movie that comes out, everybody thinks it's the greatest movie of all time. And I'm not sure every single one of them are. But the Odyssey one is just, the hype around it is insane. So I want to see if it lives up to it.
Yep. I'm going to go see it, too, just because of the hype. Not my type of movie, but I'm going to definitely go see it. But what I wanted to call about was the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think that they can do to fix the holes they have in their lineup going into the postseason, you catch Ben Rice, you bring up Lombard, throw him at third, obviously, and you trade for C.J. Abrams. And now you got a star-studded lineup that wins the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard Abrams' name a lot, and it's weird. Well, I'll look at it. I'm going to look at it from the Yankees' perspective. He's not great defensively, but offensively, much like Garcia, he is a major, major upgrade over the players you have. And I think that, look, the rotation is a championship rotation for the Yankees. I think the bullpen's championship. If they can get a championship lineup, even though the Red Sox are red hot, even though Tampa's in first place, I think the Yankees definitely get to the World Series and would be very much in a position to win a championship.
Absolutely. And I do think you're wrong about Judge and Stanton, though. There's actually no doubt in my mind that they're both coming back.
I think Judge is coming back. Stanton, man, I don't know. It just seems weird, especially when Boone was getting testy last week as far as questions being asked about Stanton's return. I don't know. I feel and I have felt strongly that Judge will return, because I do think he controls a lot of the narrative with his injuries. So I feel like if the Yankees are putting out information that Aaron Judge will return, I think Aaron is the one okaying that. And where it comes to Stanton, it's just like, I mean, he's been out since April, and it's just weird that we can't get any sort of definitive timetable on him.
Yep, it is weird. I just have faith.
Yeah.
I think that they're kind of holding them both out just for the postseason run. So we'll see.
Or at least a couple weeks before that. I appreciate that, Rob. You know, it's a part of me is, because it is 3:30 in the morning, there's always a part of me that wants to take that caller, like a clip of that. Well, the fan struck gold with you, right? You're very funny. There's a part of me that wants to clip that and send it to the architect, or at least when we go in for contract negotiations. Like, I thought about hiring Al Dukes as my agent. This was a bit he did like a month or so ago. And he was talking about, yeah, I want to be a sports agent or sports talk radio agent. And he wondered out loud if I have an agent. I don't. And I feel like if me and Al go in there and Al plays this clip for the architect where somebody says they struck gold here, perhaps, you know, come contract season, we can get a little bit of a bump. Because that's the proof. The audience is the ultimate decider, right? Doesn't matter what my mom says. You know, she tells me every day I'm funny, but that really doesn't mean anything. But if the audience says that, then you feel better about yourself. But that's, you know, because it's almost contract season. So I feel like I need to come with something. Because I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I've gotten there at the negotiating table and it's been like, you walk out of there, it's like you got the tire marks on your back. So I got to bring in the heavy guns this year. Audio and Al Dukes. I mean, that's really, I won't be able to be stopped. And I have some demands, you know, I have a couple of demands, but. But I appreciate that, Rob. And perhaps we'll go to the movies together. I'm open to it. I really am. I used to love going to the movie theaters back in the day with like a big group, especially for like a scary movie. Like that's the only genre of movie where I okay or where I am okay with people talking. Otherwise, I don't like people talking during movies, and who would? But during a scary movie, because it kind of breaks the sort of. You know, everybody's a little nervous, everybody's a little scared, everybody's a little, you know, whatever. And I think the talking kind of adds to it and makes it funny. So I don't mind the talking during a scary movie. But any other movie, it's like, can you shut up? Something else bothered me the other day that somebody did, and I wanted to bring it up on the radio, and I can't remember what it was. It might be just the standard, the either talking on a speakerphone in public transportation sort of forums, or listening to music really loud in public transportation forums. Both of those things always irk me. I just don't understand why you're doing that. It's rude, quite frankly, and inconsiderate. And I know we're in New York and people are very rude and inconsiderate in the best of ways. I say that in the way that that's just part of who we are. But geez, if anything, I'm a little bit of a low talker when it comes to public settings because I don't want other people hearing what I have to say. It's really, quite frankly, none of their business. So I can, in public settings, be a low talker. I kind of talk like this. And people are like, huh? Like, I do that sometimes with Jerry in the newsroom, especially on Mondays. He loves to see. I walk out. He's got a huge smile on his face when he sees me. And I'll kind of whisper to him, and I get a, ah! And I'm like, I heard Rami talking about that the other day in a podcast, made me laugh. He's like, Jerry will hit me with that. It goes, yeah, that's translation means get away from me. Leave me alone. What's going on there? Let's head out to Stewie. He joins us from Brooklyn. It's after hours here on The Fan. What's up, Stewie?
Good morning, Tommy. Hey.
Well, Stuart, we've been over this.
They finally did something right. My boss had a GM.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why.
He finally did something right. Oh, my God. Maybe we should take him off the spaceship, huh?
Well, that's really up to you, Stewie, because your spaceship that you have that is going to the moon really is up to you who you want to keep on there. You know the
people I want there.
You
right?
want Hal on there? You want...
No, not no more.
Okay. You want...
No, you know
Boone?
Why?
Why?
Simple. He spends the money. The thing is, the guy spending the money is not getting the job done. And the last time he got the job done was the winter of 2008. And then 24...
Right.
They were overmatched.
They were, but they got to the World Series.
Yes. And the thing is...
Do you have a pilot for the... Do you have an astronaut for this spaceship?
What'd you say, Tom?
Do you have somebody capable of flying the spaceship?
I'll get someone.
What do you mean you'll get someone? What does that mean?
I'll find someone.
You can't... What do you think? You're going to fly... You take out an ad in the Yellow Pages? You got to go to NASA?
No. You got to find someone down in Cape Canaveral.
I got you.
All right. Tommy.
Yeah.
Tarek Skubal.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
What was that?
Go to them? Go to, of all teams.
Well, listen, you shouldn't be shocked at this. Yeah, but you can't be shocked by this at this point.
No,
Steve.
I can't be shocked. And that, you wanna,
as you said,
you're
bald-headed GM. You know, that's a big swing. But I also think that he shouldn't have went that big swing for Skubal. I think the Yankees should concentrate on offense.
Well, they need more offense. Definitely. I don't know if Stanton's coming back, but I do believe Aaron Judge will be back. When? Probably early September.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd say early September is... but really, at this point, that's probably being slightly on the optimistic side, because I think he's going to need about a month to ramp up after he is cleared, and a month from now is already early September.
Exactly. But hopefully be ready for the postseason run.
Yeah. Ultimately,
Tommy, next year there will be no baseball.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
Why I say that? Both sides are digging in their heels. I hope you're right and I'm wrong. I want baseball.
Of course.
But the thing is, all the deferred money that teams do, and the teams that don't spend the money they get from the luxury tax, that's got to change. They got to figure out a way to
make it. Yeah, but they can, okay, fine. But what you're saying there, okay, but that doesn't mean there won't be any baseball. So you just think there's going to be Armageddon, they're never going to agree, and we don't have an entire season?
I would hope you're right.
Well, no, I know that, Stewie.
But you're right.
Well, I hope I'm right, too, obviously.
Yes, exactly. Tommy, but the thing is, the point being, the deferred money and the teams that don't spend the money that they get from the luxury tax from the owners, that's got to change. Teams are going to spend money.
I agree. I think there should be a floor.
Everybody's got to have everything on the market. You think the Yankees have any deferred money with those contracts? No.
Well, really, it's just the Dodgers, basically. I mean, the Dodgers, they did it with Ohtani. They do it with some of their stars. So they've kind of, that's sort of their loophole into being.
The loophole's got to be shut.
Well, but what do you mean it's got to be shut? I think you could have a salary floor. Nah,
Ohtani's getting $20 million for 10 years and $680 million for the next 10 years.
So what? If you win the lottery, Stewie, they tell you want it all at once, or do you want it over the next, you know, whatever, 20-30 years? A little sprinkle here, a little sprinkle there.
That's not the point. The point is he's playing baseball. They should have the money on the books. Everything has to. The Yankees have no deferred money.
Yeah, but they could. I mean, they're playing within the rules. No. The player chooses not to defer his money, Stewie. That's really what it boils down to. The player wants all their money. Like I said, it's like when you win the lotto, they go, hey, you want $1 million for the next 50 years, or do you want $50 million tomorrow? Most people take the $50 million tomorrow. I do believe there will be baseball next year. I think both sides understand that Armageddon, a season lost, would be very detrimental to their sport. A sport that has been growing as far as ratings, attendance, interest, thanks, I think, in large part to a pitch clock. You no longer celebrate 3 birthdays during an at-bat. And just certain things, even the runner on second in extra innings. Say what you want about Rob Manfred, but he has added things to baseball that has made it better, including the expanded postseason. Heck, I even like the swing off, and I would be open to that during the regular season if you ever got to like the 14th or 15th inning. But I think both sides, as much as they're going to dig in, as much as they're, you know, there's a salary cap, is that dirty word, and it could get ugly, and there definitely could be baseball missed. But I believe ultimately both sides understand losing a season, not playing at all, is extremely, extremely detrimental to a sport that's growing and is on the rise. And can I would say ill afford, all sports are like this, but seriously, you can't afford to lose a year. And I know everybody's going to sit there and go, if the Dodgers win a World Series, I don't want baseball for a year or two. You say that now, but we're going to tune into this radio station and hear top 30 lists every single day? Anybody want a trapeze act? You'll be missing, clamoring for it. And that's the thing. Well, the Dodgers are ruining baseball. They're ruining baseball. No, they're not. They have set the standard. They have set the sort of bar, and they have found the cheat code, but that doesn't mean that other teams can't find a way or either around that. I mean, the Blue Jays almost beat them. They had them on the ropes twice in the World Series last year. Twice. And if you gave me Dodgers or the field this year to win the World Series, I would take the field. And that's on the heels of Skubal going there. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. We got another 90 minutes to go. It's going to be mostly baseball, trade deadline, Yankees, Mets. They've already made a few moves, including here in the overnight, trading Brazoban to the White Sox. Peralta already on his way out to the Rays. Minter gone. Who is next for the Mets? Yankees and Cashman should be busy in the next few hours as well. The Skubal trade, which we were just talking about. So a lot of baseball over the final 90 minutes. And one little football note and nugget from Cam Scataboo, something he said over the weekend that caught my ear. I'll explain to you sometime before 5 a.m. It is after hours. The phone number to join the conversation is 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.
40 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant Lugie evening. Got you for another hour plus. Al and CeeLo come your way for the warm-up show at 5 a.m. And from what people tell me, don't worry, it only lasts an hour, and most days it doesn't suck. I actually think it's great. I mean, I only listen once a week, but the once a week I'm not up. I mean, that's why. I mean, I go home and go to bed, but I'm driving home after the shift, and I always get a tickle out of it. I think it's very funny. Very, very funny. And that's coming up at 5 a.m. here on The Fan. But I got you for the next hour and 20 minutes on After Hours. It is trade deadline day. The Mets have been very active, including a trade tonight for sending Brazoban to the White Sox. We know about Peralta going to the Rays. Minter is gone. Who will be next? I'm hoping it's not Clay Holmes. I don't think Weaver ends up getting moved because Raley will get traded. And look, you're going to need some bullpen arms for next year. Weaver has obviously been sensational this year. He's on a two-year deal, so he's got one more year left on his contract going into next year. Clay Holmes is a guy that I think should definitely be a part of this rotation. I know there's a lot of buzz and a lot of momentum heading towards Holmes being sent out of here. I would not do that if I was David Stearns. I think Clay Holmes should be a part of this future. He has been awesome ever since transitioning from a reliever to a starting pitcher. He was well on his way to being an all-star this year, Clay Holmes was, before a freak injury. So if I'm the Mets, I would keep Holmes and sign him to a long-term deal. Same thing, hopefully, with Bo Bichette. I mean, Bo Bichette more of an opt-in. And so obviously they have to have a conversation with him, but I don't see why Bo would opt out. I mean, he's going to make, what, I think around $42 million with the Mets. I don't see where he's getting that in the free agent market. Bo Bichette, to me, is still a guy that can be a fan favorite. I still think he's a guy that can regain the form he had in Toronto. And the hustle and the clutch hitting and the machine as far as extra base hits, that player still exists. And look, it's happened. It happened to Beltran. It happened to Piazza, Lindor, Soto. All those guys struggled out of the gate. And ultimately, they found their way in New York and ended up being great players for the Mets. Soto and Lindor still in their Met career. And Beltran, obviously, and Piazza, we all know the accolades that those guys have. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Dan in Belmar. He joins us here on After Hours. What's up, Dan?
What's up, Lugie? What's going on, brother? Hey, sounds like Patra over there with your music you got going.
Well, that's how we like to keep it here at After Hours. And I do miss Patra. Obviously, one of the legendary spots down here on the west side of Manhattan, a place that really just got going at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is what we are here on After Hours. So basically,
That's right. Well, the Mets sell off, so it begins. Got me looking up all these prospects now. The Brazoban guys, the guys they got back for him, look half decent. I mean, at the end of the day, Brazoban was good for us, but he was 37 years old, and I would have probably sold him. It looks like the guys they got back for him are decent enough.
Yeah, Gabe Davis and Zach Franklin. Franklin being the older of the two in AAA right now, 27 years old. Brazoban was under team control for a bunch of years, but I can understand the idea of, hey, maybe you feel like this reliever is not going to be better next year because relievers can be up and down. So I understand cashing in. And look, you are trading off a guy that you had team control for the next couple of years, so clearly this is a package that the Mets were very happy to do because they weren't forced to trade Brazoban like they are Peralta, who's on an expiring deal.
Right, yeah, I think it makes sense. Just two quick points. I heard you talking about, you know, the CBA next year and the potential lockout. I don't think there's ever going to be, at least in the near future, a hard cap in MLB, but they got to do something where it's like a percentage of the deferred money. Like, they got to come up with a number that, I don't know how they would do it now with all this deferred money, you know, going up until 2050 now with the Dodgers and stuff. But it has to be a percentage that you can only defer X amount, and kind of keep it a even playing field with the lower market teams and, you know, teams like the Mets and the Dodgers that are, you know, can defer all the money they want. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I think that would make it more fair other than just a hard cap, which probably would never happen.
I don't think the hard cap is happening either. I think either a soft or a floor or whatever the case may be, and hopefully they can come to an agreement on that sooner rather than later. But yeah, I'm just not one with the tinfoil hat where there's collusion and the owners want to see the Dodgers win, so they have the favor of the public in the court of public opinion. I'm not buying into any of that. I think if a team wanted Scooble here at the deadline and they ponied up, they would have got him. And the Dodgers are just ahead. They're just setting the pace in baseball now.
I will say, I think some teams are definitely operating with, you know, next year, that knowing that some games are probably going to be missed. They're acting a little differently, operating a little differently with that in mind.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
I don't think there's league-wide collusion. No. But, and then I heard you mention, I don't know if it was tonight or another show, but I'm with you where the Mets need a guy under David Stearns
yep.
to kind of fill that GM role.
Yep.
I think I haven't heard from you who you would like to fill that role, but for me, I think a guy that makes a lot of sense and that's proven and done it before, David Stearns, I don't think he's an idiot, but I mean, he is like an analytical nerd type. He put the systems in place and he's good at that. I understand. If he wants to stay the president of baseball operations, he has to realize what he's not good at. And that could be like that natural scout. And to me, a guy that makes a lot of sense would be former Nationals GM and player of baseball operations, Mike Rizzo, who's been out of the game for a little bit. But if you look at the team that he assembled that won the World Series in 2019, they kind of had a couple pieces like the Mets do now, where they had a couple superstars and they drafted well. They had Harper. They had they got Strasburg, before he blew out his arm. They made a couple key trades with Scherzer and Trey Turner, and they really supplemented that team and ended up beating the Astros, who were cheating in 2019.
Yeah, they got off to that horrific start to start the year, and then obviously they went on that incredible run and then ultimately ended up winning the World Series with Soto and all that. But yeah, Rizzo's an interesting name, and I didn't bring it up tonight, but I have brought it up before, and I appreciate the call, Dan, that the Mets will hire a general manager in the offseason. I believe they will for a myriad of reasons. And one of them I do think is, hey, there's obviously a lot of anti-David Stearns opinions out there. This idea that we're hiring a general manager, I think it softens the blow of bringing David Stearns back. Plus, I think it allows David to be in a role that I think suits him more. General manager, the name I've thrown out there a bunch is Carlos Beltran. I just think Beltran's going to be involved here. I know, Carlos said it himself, that they were talking to him about possibly taking over managerial-wise when Mendoza got fired. Look, Beltran was never going to have the interim tag, and he also is going into the Hall of Fame or went into the Hall of Fame, and when he was asked, he was going into the Hall of Fame. Number retired, all of that, so he's got a busy summer. I don't think Beltran wants that on his plate. Also, as interim manager, when you could just get hired in the offseason for either role. But yes, I am 95% sure the Mets are hiring a general manager in the offseason. And Rizzo's definitely an interesting name. Beltran's an interesting name. And we'll see, other candidates that emerge. But I am pretty convinced that the Mets are going to do that. Tiki Barber, my current coworker, but I worked on the show with Tiki. He's on TMZ Sports here. I don't know where he did this interview, but the headline here is Tiki Barber loved John Harbaugh's viral speech. I talked about this at the time with the speech, and my opinion stays the same on this. I was stunned that it had so many polarizing opinions. Like, so many people loved it, so many people hated it. I thought it was somewhere in the middle. I thought it was meh, I thought it was mid. It was fine. I don't think it's any sort of indictment on Harbaugh and what his tenure here with the Giants is going to look like. I also don't think it's this, hey, John Harbaugh is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread because of this speech. I think it lands somewhere in the middle, and I know we're not in a land somewhere in the middle type of society anymore, and yours truly could definitely live on the extremes, but in this case, I'm kind of middle of the road. I think it was okay. I think it was fine. I still have giant expectations. I still think the Giants are going to have a giant turnaround. I still am expecting them to go to the playoffs, all those things. And that speech didn't make me want to run through a wall or say, oh, because of that speech, then they're definitely going to the playoffs. Or, oh my God, they made a massive mistake and Harbaugh can't connect with the younger player. Like, just crazy asinine stuff on both ends that I heard with that speech. I felt like it landed somewhere in the middle. It was a C plus, 7 out of 10, a solid speech. And it did get no reaction, but the players during that time probably wanted to be everywhere else but sitting in a room listening to Harbaugh because it was, months ago. So it's not the speech you're going to give week one against the Cowboys. It's not a speech you would give at the halftime of a playoff game or a big game in November and December. It's just kind of your introductory one. And I think it was overhyped as far as how great it was. And I also think it was the way it was panned that was like, come on. I think that speech landed somewhere in the middle. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The fan focus. Let's do one right now. For me, the Mets have an interesting situation coming up here with the deadline. and I keep bringing up these three names, Holmes, Weaver, Bichette. I would like to see all three here next year. Now, for Weaver, he's under contract, so that just means you don't trade him. For Holmes, I'd like to see an extension. And for Bichette, I'm hopeful that he opts in to his contract. And I think all three are going to be really good here in the second half. And I also think that all three would be great to have around next year. Like, Clay Holmes, to me, should be a stalwart of this rotation. I don't even necessarily agree with the idea of dangling him out there for trade. I don't. I think he should be, Holmes should be a big part of this rotation next year. And as far as Bichette, look, he's been better than advertised defensively. I expect the offensive numbers to be better here in the final couple months. And in his second year with the Mets, if he chooses to opt in, he will, I think, round back into the form that we saw in Toronto. Weaver, look, I mean, he's been awesome now in both stops, Yankees and Mets. Not always great with the Yankees, but he had his flashes with the Yankees. And this season, he's been lights out with the Mets. And I think he just has the type of makeup to be successful in New York, as he's done it now in two different stops here with the Yankees and now with the Mets. And as far as the Yankees, look, we talked a lot about the trade deadline. They also had a very good weekend in Chicago, taking 2 out of 3 from the Cubs in a playoff-type atmosphere, great pitching, really just a fun series to watch and a good series for the Yankees overall as they are trying to catch the Rays and also trying to keep the Red Sox at bay, who swept the Dodgers over the weekend, and the Red Sox are the hottest team in all of baseball. Mark joins us from California next here on After Hours. What's up, Mark?
What's going on? So I was just talking with a couple buddies in my chat today, talking about like the clues for the trade deadline for Cashman, right? Because for me, it seems, Lugie, that at the start of every season for the Yankees last, like, you know, 8 or 9 years, they seem to have at least one or two very clear weaknesses. And then Cashman always seems to address those weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. At the deadline. So going back in 2021, they need the left-handed hitter. They went out and got Gallo and Rizzo without adding any payroll, mm-hmm. which most people enjoyed. 2025, you had the overhaul with Bednar, Bird, Doval. Bird and Doval are obviously gone. And then in third base, they added McMahon and a platoon partner in Rosario, but he never acquires any top targets. So remember, Skubal was supposed to be going to the Yankees and the Dodgers. Isn't it funny how no trade packages came out for Skubal at all, but supposedly the Yankees were in on Skubal, just like they were in on Manny Machado when they offered Manny Machado the worst contract I have ever seen given to a player. Absolute lowballed him, right? So for me, everyone's like, well, Mason Miller. No, they're not getting Mason Miller. No, even if he gets traded, he's
which
not
I don't think he will,
Cashman,
but I agree, though, on that.
Okay. But Cashman never gets the best player at any position, at any deadline.
Well, we'll see. I mean, because it's possible that Garcia is the best offensive player that gets traded here at the deadline.
Well, this deadline has been disgusting, by the way. Outside of Skubal, it's just been a whole bunch of no names. But
I'm just saying, it could end up being that way. You know what I mean? And listen, they and as far, and I appreciate the call, Mark. Skubal is not a need for the Yankees. The only reason you were going to trade for him, because I heard a couple of people have this take, is to block him from going to the Dodgers, which I wouldn't have done that. Let him go to L.A. The Yankees did what they needed to do, at least step one here, getting a bat that is just, I mean, Luis Garcia Jr. is having an incredible season, a career year. High average guy, makes a lot of contact, doesn't strike out a lot, big time power numbers. And you need offense. You didn't need more pitching. You have a championship rotation, you have a championship bullpen. So the Mason Millers, the Skubal, yeah, they're sexy names. They're the top of their profession as far as guys available and probably just in general. As far as a closer, as far as a starting pitcher. But pitching is not the Yankees' problem. Offense is. And it could, once the dust settles here, Garcia could be the best bat that got moved at the deadline. So in that case, Cashman would have gotten the best available. And I think that's why they traded for him, because he's not... Luis Garcia is not a fit with this team, but he was the best available as far as offensive players go. And the Yankees need offensive players. They need production in that lineup. They have so many dead outs. Grisham stinks. Volpe stinks. McMahon stinks. Wells stinks. Dominguez stinks. Goldschmidt's been not what he was early in the year, which is to be expected with his age. But still, Caballero, the blooms off the rose. They are shown a hesitancy to bring up Lombard. He should have been up here a week ago. They don't want to call him up. Who knows when you're getting Stanton or Judge back, if at all. So the Yankees have to make several moves here off as far as position players. And they took a first step, and a good one, a real good one, because they got a guy who's having a similar season to Ben Rice. And Ben Rice is obviously having an MVP year. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We are heading into the final hours here of the five-hour after hours. So the final hour of a five-hour after hours. We'll continue to take your calls on the trade deadline. There is a little story that came out of the Giants with Cam Scadaboo over the weekend that I want to address as well before we get out of here. So if you want to hop on, this is your final chance here, your final hour to talk to me tonight. It is 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night. It's After Hours here on The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.